PuffloRadio.com.
Yeah.
PuffloRadio.com. Internet Inferno. On demand and live pro in the audio.
You are now tuned into the Pro Flow for Show Show, internationally syndicated, act like you know, with your host, Mr. Mad Max. Pro Flow for Show, www.maxi.com.
Pro Flow for Show Show, wireless phone interview feature presentation.
Pro Flow for Show Show, Pro Flow for Show Show, Pro Flow for Show Show.
Check this out.
It's the book, I'm Doing the Best I Can, They Won't Always Be Cute and Adorable. And then the second one was Ready, Aim, Excel, which I was asked to be a part of with 51 other, some of the top, I mean, well-known worldwide top motivational speakers, and they've allowed me to be a part of that book, which is kind of amazing, but these people are from all over the world, and they give their inspiration in their particular area to inspire people to be your best, not only at your job, but in your family as well, you know?
Definitely. What I would like to do is kind of get a little background history of what got you to the point where you're at, you know, when it comes to spreading out this information and knowledge that helps to benefit the world. If you don't mind, maybe you could tell the audience, at least start where they can find you at online.
Okay. It's Lisa R. Hein, HEIN.com is my website.
All right. Now, Lisa, what will be the title that you would consider as your most, I don't know, what do you want people to know you as professional-wise?
I'm a parenting author and a motivational speaker.
Now, the parenting authorship, in my opinion, is very needed nowadays, especially with all the different things going on. You mentioned the shooting in Connecticut. It's obvious that there's really, really disturbing things going on in the world, and our family structure is very threatened at this point. Can you give them the name of the book that you'd like to talk about first?
The book, I'm Doing the Best I Can, They Won't Always Be Cute and Adorable.
That's a really, really special title, Cute and Adorable.
Right.
What's the gist of the book, and the way the theme was the book, if you could explain it briefly?
It's my journey through parenting, where you think that they're just so cute and adorable that we don't always pay attention to our behavior and what messages we're giving our children. And with having only one child, it was very easy for me to spoil, 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 do, give, without even thinking of the repercussions. And obviously by the time high school came, it was a totally different ballgame. And I lost control. I mean, things shifted to a point where it was like, what's going on? You know, and it was very difficult for me, and I lost me. I walked away from God. I was so angry at God and just blamed him for everything. And meanwhile, my son was kind of doing his thing, being disrespectful, staying out, going places, not seeing him for days at a time. And it just tripped me out, and it was not healthy. It was a very, very sad few years in my life, and his as well. So it's like, you know, you have to be able to touch parents of these young children and understand on a day-to-day basis just how important your behavior is and what messages we're giving our children.
That's a very, very deep and broad theme. That's great. What could be, like, an example of certain behavior that people might pick up on, that children might pick up on, that we might not notice?
Well, I think it's really important that parents stay on the same page, because kids are very good at manipulation. And if mommy isn't going to give them what they want, they're going to go to daddy, because daddy's more laid back at times and maybe doesn't get the whole gist of what's going on, and just, you know, maybe even go against what the mother just said, or even vice versa. And so kids need to know that their parents, regardless if they like each other, because there's a lot of parents who don't like each other right now, you have to, for the children's sake, be a team. Otherwise, they're going to play you, and they'll continue to play you until they're, like, you know, out of your house. and it makes for a very uncomfortable environment.
Definitely. Now, considering that you went through it and you wrote a book about it, do you think it's something that can be avoided, you know, just the whole teenager rebellious stage? Or do you think that it's something that most people have to deal with, but they have to just deal with it correctly? What's your opinion?
Well, you know, I mean, the world has definitely shifted from when I was a teenager. I mean, we wouldn't think twice about talking back to our parents or, you know, just being disrespectful to adults. You just didn't do it. Did we sneak? Yes. Did we do things we shouldn't have done? Yes. Were we blatant? Absolutely not. And I think what has happened is because of our parenting skills of wanting to maybe be different from, you know, when we were raised where our parents, they ruled. And whatever they said, it was it. Period. Amen. There was no just saying, you know, forget you and walking out the door and going and doing it. It was a matter of just, you didn't do it. You just didn't get to go do it. And now it's like we've lost total control of our children. What can we do to make it better? We can set really good boundaries and really a really good foundation. And I think, in my opinion, that it's really important to bring them up with some sort of spirituality and stay in your spirituality and be true to it. Don't be a hypocrite and take your children to church and drop them off, or take them to church and then come home and be as mean as the Dickens. You want to live your faith. You don't want to be a hypocrite, because that's what happens at times, that we want our children to be all these wonderful human beings, but yet we're not feeding them good, positive information that will bring them into being good, healthy adults. You know, we experienced a young man taking the lives of 20 children. Why didn't anybody see that he was struggling or he had the pain that he had? Are we really going so fast that we're insensitive to what's going on to our children? We've got to pay more attention and be quiet. We need to listen to what they're saying and really try to understand what it is, because so many times we're so willing to, you know, just open our mouth and give them, you know, well, this is how I feel. Well, you know what? They're not asking for you to tell them how you feel. They're trying to tell you something, and it's very important to be still and listen to what they're really saying.
That's so real and so relevant to, like you said, the current news is going on. What brought you, well, other than the fact that you went through the whole story, but at some point you said, I'm gonna build my courage up and tell the world about this situation so that it doesn't happen to anybody else. When did you hit that point where that you got strong enough to want to turn it from just an experience to, you know, a helpful tool?
Actually, I never intended this, to be a book. I was up journaling my thoughts because I was so freaked out, not knowing where your child is at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, you know, and he's in high school and he's underage, and, you know, it was very frightening. So I would just journal my thoughts. And remember, at the time, I lost my relationship with God. I was so angry at God because I thought he was punishing us because we had moved and we were really having a hard time plugging in to a church and feeling, you know, that we belonged there. And so it was just so much easier not to go to church, and then all of a sudden, you know, things are happening. And, you know, so about a year and a half after I had been writing, I felt this presence that I have never felt in my life. And it was like, I heard,
yeah,
you need to write this and share it with other parents because they're not equipped to handle it as you are not, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that, because people are very judgmental. They accuse me of, you know, being his friend when they don't even know the whole story. So I wasn't about to put my, you know, my personal life out there. But, you know, when God tells you something, man, you gotta listen, because, you know, he knows what needs to be done. And of course, our relationship was reestablished. He never left me. I left him. And I went down on my knees, my friend. I went down on my knees and I asked him to forgive me for being such a brat and, you know, thinking that he didn't care. When you give your life to God, you just know that you know that you know he's not going anywhere. It's you. And, you know, my son got away from him and it was just, we all lived in the world. And I'm telling you, there is a difference. There really is a difference when you have spirituality in your home and it's sincere and honest and it's everyday living 24/7 versus not having anything. And I saw it. I saw the difference.
Amazing. It's amazing. So I wanted to ask you the advice that you would want to give to a parent if they're having a situation where they're not able to get through to their teen, if they're not able to figure out what's missing, how to fix things and make them better, if they're not using a higher level of thought to help dictate, you know, the family structure. Now, what advice would you give to them?
Just seek help. You know, seek some outside help because there's nothing to be embarrassed about. But, you know, the thing that I learned, I mean, we went to therapy, but I struggled because although this person was really, really awesome, they did not have children. And you can pull out of the book all you want about how it should be and what you need to do. But if you don't have a child who's ripping your heart out by their behavior and disrespect and possibly using drugs and alcohol and smoking cigarettes and doing all of these things that we know are awful for them, regardless if we did them when we were younger or not, we now see the repercussions of doing these things to our body because our body wasn't meant for synthetic drugs and alcohol and nicotine. It just isn't. And eventually it's going to give out. And kids today, they don't, I mean, obviously none of us did. We only see to the end of our nose. But if you're having trouble, get help. Don't just say, oh, you're such a little brat and I don't want anything to do with you. Go to your room. That is not helping. And that's why we're seeing these children flashing out the way there's flashing out because they're so desperate for somebody to grab them and say, okay, we got to get to the bottom of it. If I'm not the one you want to talk to, let's go talk to somebody that's going to understand what you're feeling and acknowledge it. Stop turning your heads because these children are in pain. Adults are in pain because of what's going on. So we have a lot of parents that are drinking too much in front of their children to, you know, take the stress off or, you know, smoking a joint or whatever it is that people want to do to help chill out, you know. What messages are we giving our children? We have parents smoking dope with their kids today. I'm like, really? I mean, what in the world is going on? We've taken a good society from 40, 50 years ago, and we're like so out of control right now that, I mean, it's very sad, but seek help. Whether you go to a church, there's always wonderful counselors there to give them good, positive, you know, information. There's youth groups, you know, there are people out there that know what they're talking about, and I think it's really important to find somebody who has children because they're more apt to understand.
You're right about that one. How's the response for the book been? Because you said you've been speaking in public about and working with different organizations for different reasons. How's the reception for your campaign been?
Well, it's been phenomenal. I've gotten kind of quiet in the last, you know, year because it's time to, you know, I'm working on my it's actually my second book that I've written, but I've been a part of three, you know, this will be my third book that I've, you know, been able to get out. But I've had wonderful responses. I've had people come to me with tears in their eyes and they just stare at me, you know, and there's like a nonverbal communication that, you know, had people send me emails telling me that I basically saved their life because they were so burned out and so tired of the fighting and the disrespect, you know, and that I gave them hope. When I've been on television and radio, I mean, the responses have been very positive. I had a radio talk show for 3 years where I brought some of the most incredible guests to the airways that not only dealt with, you know, parenting, but have also shared a lot of different information about health and wellness and love. And so it's been very, very well received. And, you know, to me, if you want somebody to come and talk at whatever event you have, somebody who's down to earth and, you know, just says it as it is, you know, that's who I am. That's what I'm about. So I'm very blessed. I feel very blessed to be able to do what I'm doing.
Awesome. It sounds like it. It sounds like you're very experienced and wise. And
yeah, it's taken a long time, honey. It has taken a long time and a lot of pain, but a lot of wisdom has come from it. And, you know, I do thank a very dear friend of mine, Vicky, for giving me her love and respect and honor to show me that there are other ways of looking at things, because we get so zoned in to think that this is the way it has to be. This is the way we have to act. This is the way we have to do things. And it's not. It's not. It's raising our consciousness to be loving, kind, beautiful people, because each one of us have come to this planet, in my opinion, you know, with a gift. And some of us, our parents didn't even see it, you know, and even us as parents, these children are coming with these amazing gifts and talents, and we've got to zone in on what is their purpose here? What is my purpose here? And to learn that it isn't just to tell everybody what to do and, you know, scream and yell in the morning to get everybody up and out of bed and then go to work for 8 hours and then come home and throw some dinner together. It isn't that at all. And I realize what's going on in this, you know, in each one of our communities. I see the insanity. I see the way people drive and how aggressive everybody is. But you know what? We don't have to be a part of it. And I attribute that to having a really positive relationship with the Lord, because I was a crazy lunatic, you know, and everything bothered me, and I was always uptight, and I was always angry, and I was always feeling, you know, everybody's out to get me, and you know, it was like insanity at its best. And when I really got in touch with my feelings, and after listening to so many of these wonderful guests that I had on my show, and along with my very dear friend who opened up my eyes and said, you know what? There are certain things you can't change, and there are certain people you can't change. All we can do is love and honor and respect them and pray. And pray.
Pray. Pray is a very, very powerful.
Have to pray. And I've, you know, I'm going to tell you, my son is now 25 years old, and it has taken a long time to get there. But since I've shifted, and I feel so good within myself, I fell back in love with myself. I found her, and I went, oh, hey, where you been, you know? Because you trip, and you go to a different arena when you're a parent, and you think that you got to be this person. Well, that isn't who I really was. I'm very cool. I'm very understanding. I'm very opinionated. I tell it as it is with no malice. I'm not a mean soul. I'm really not. I say it as it is, and I have love in my heart, and when I say things, and if it offends people, I don't ever, ever mean to, you know. But I mean, I can be mean, trust me, just like anybody else, and you got to push me really hard for it to come out anymore. But you have to learn that your way is not the only way, because each one of these children that we have different needs and different ways of being talked to, and they need clarity, and some need a little bit more, and some need a little less, some need this, and we have to be sensitive to it, rather than just thinking that these kids are in a way, and if I didn't have you, I'd be so much happier, and you're just so, you know, we've turned these children into gimmies, you know, they don't know how to, be humble and grateful. It's gimme, gimme, gimme. I want more. I want more. I want more. And the media just keeps shoving it down our throats, and we fall into it. I've heard a lot of parents talk to me about the holidays. You know, we've had to cut back. And I'm like, good for you. Good for you. What is it that these children need that we don't give them all year long? And it isn't even about that. Christmas isn't even about that. It's about celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Where in the world did it say that we have to buy 150 gifts and get in debt so when the bills come in January, now we're depressed?
Right.
It's about that. It's about our children who are blessed, who have a roof over their head, clothes on their back, a nice bed to sleep in, and food in their belly, to turn and say, you know what, Mom? Let's go do something for children who are, you know, living in homeless shelters, not because their parents are not trying, but because of what is happening. We've seen a shift. Take things to them, whether they're in good condition that are used or they're new. Let them go to the store and with money that they've earned, if that's such a thing today, that they've earned, and buy these children little gifts and give them to the Toys for Tots or take an angel off the tree at church or whatever it is, but get their eyes off themselves. And this is such a perfect time for letting people know it isn't about gimme, gimme, gimme. It's about giving. Let them feel good about giving. Send a letter up to Connecticut to, you know, to the people that have just lost their children. Let them do something besides focusing on themselves. And again, you know, that's one of our major problems is that we've entitled our children to be gimmies. And then we get mad. We get mad. Well, who did it? You know, who did this? Who did this to this generation? We did it, you know, as parents today. There's some great kids out there, don't get me wrong. There's some amazing children. But their parents have learned to keep them grounded and focused. And if you want to do this, then you got to do it 24/7. You can't just do it and then, you know, go off and do something else. You got to find out what their talents are and then let them live their talent.
Got that right. Did you want to mention anything about current projects? I think you mentioned something about working with 50 different groups around the world, I believe. You're talking about something like that.
Right. That one's called Ready, Aim, Excel. And it does. It has 52 top motivational speakers, visionaries, authors. And on my website, which is the www.lisarhine.com, I'm offering both the book, I'm Doing the Best I Can, and Ready, Aim, Excel, in ebook form. And it's only $9.95 for both the books. And my third one, I think I have the title as Manifesting God's Love Within the Family Dynamic. And it's a Christian based book full of scriptures and just my thoughts about how we can just be even better than what we are and just taking some time to really look at our children for what they really are. And they're gifts.
No, go ahead.
They're all gifts.
I wanted to get advice for actually authors, people that are maybe going through similar life stories as you, having this desire in their heart to help others. What would you say to help them get to where you're at in relation to helping society?
You have to do it. I mean, everybody says, oh, I've always wanted to write a book. Then sit down and do it. You know, when my editor recently, you know, said, we were having lunch one day and she said to me, are you through talking? And I was embarrassed. Said, oh my God, I didn't know I was talking that much. And I said, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was talking too much. And she goes, that's not what I'm saying. She says, are you through talking? Do you not have anything else to say? And I said, do you mean in this conversation or what? Because like I said, I'm older. I don't get things. You have to be really clear with me. But she said, no, I'm asking you, do you have another book in mind? And I went, oh. I went, okay. I go, yeah. And she says, okay, well, let's go. because it's been a few years since my last book came out, and then Ready, Aim, Excel came out, I think, in 2011, at the end of 2011. So I sat down and I said, okay, God, if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, then let's go. And I'm telling you, Mike, within 5 minutes, I had the name of all 13 chapters.
Wow.
And in two weeks, and that doesn't mean working on it every day, I had the chapters written out. Now, has it been edited and everything? Yes. The thing about it is, you have to believe and you have to listen to yourself. If this is what you want to do, whether it's writing a book, whether it's singing, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, you've got to follow through. Because, see, I said earlier, we've all come to this world with a gift. And you have to listen to it. It's not just subliminal message to be, you know, pushed aside or, oh, I can never do that. I'm not a writer. I've never written anything in my life. You know? And here I've written a book and I've sold thousands and thousands of copies, and I'm amazed by the responses, like, wow, you really helped me get there and understand and change and go in another direction. And it's like, you just have to believe in who you are. Believe in who you are. And know that that little whisper in your ear is a little message. Go do it. Just go do it. Just sit down at when it's quiet. Sometimes that's 2, 3, 4 in the morning, believe it or not. I was up doing that a lot because that's when, like, I was told that that's when all the creative angels are out. So I don't know if you expect that too. Early in the morning, it's the best time to be creative and do what you got to do. But I just say do it. You know, if you have that burning feeling inside you, you gotta go forward and do it.
That's awesome. Would you like to say anything else? At all to anyone, maybe thank yous or a summary of what you are, your theme or point or intention for the audience to catch, whatever you'd like to say at this point, it's up to you.
I'm just grateful for opportunities like this to be able to share a little bit of, you know, clarity and hope, to know that just because it is what it is right now, it doesn't mean it has to be that way the rest of your life and your children's life. We're allowed to change. And, Mike, we're allowed to apologize for our behavior to our children. We're allowed to sit down and have a family discussion and just say, you know what, the way our family is going right now it's not good for any of us. And have an open discussion and allow people to either write down what they feel, and, you know, so they don't have to be ashamed or embarrassed or whatever, or to say what it is that they feel, because, you know, in a second, they could be taken from us. And in a second, we could be taken from them. Why in the world do we want to spend time fighting each other? Learn to have some respect for yourself first. Take time for yourself. Learn how to acknowledge your needs and get healthy within yourself first. And then it'll shift in the family, that the children will see, wow, it's not so bad being around here. You know, I mean, all the time my child was growing up, I had this house full of kids. I wanted them to feel safe here. I wanted to make it fun here. I sent them out on scavenger hunts. They had no clue what a scavenger hunt was. You know, I had them play ball. I had them, you know, they just, my husband put these long ropes on the trees in the backyard so the boys could climb up the trees. And, you know, I mean, just give them something. Don't let them just keep walking out of your house. Because if you don't do it, the world is going to do it. And right now, I don't want the world teaching me anything, so why would we want our children to? So just understand that you can change your attitude. You can change your personality. You can change the way you have expectations, and lower those expectations because they get in the way. Just do some, you know, just some natural, unconditional love where you can honor each other and, you know, get back to communication and hugging and spending quality time together.
Man, this was a, I knew that it was a reason why I was supposed to be doing this interview, and I really appreciate you allowing me to make it happen, because if it was up to me, obviously it probably wouldn't happen, just by my lack of professionalism. So I appreciate it, because you know, you're able to actually help me understand what I'll be speaking to. I'm going to a high school on Monday to speak to some children about family crisis, because when I was at the high school, I had my injury when I broke my neck, and we had a big family crisis with the community pulled together for us. But I'm going back to talk to them now, so I'll be able to actually mention you and your book and the things that I learned from talking to you, because my career now is part of this whole message. So I really appreciate it. Also, my father brought me all this information he wrote about our life in a way, and things I never knew, and he's like, write a book now. And so
absolutely, honey. I mean, you have a message, and there's a lot of children out there who have been hurt with spinal cord injuries. And I mean, I interviewed a child out in Washington, I believe, that got hurt playing football, you know, and he is confined to a wheelchair, but they're trying to get him. I mean, he's starting to take steps and things of that sort. So there's a lot of amazing kids that are being hurt in sports and accidents and things of that sort. So, you know, you are going to be an amazing, what is the word I want to say, example that, you know, sometimes we're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sometimes we create the accidents that happen to us, you know, and this is what can happen if you're not on spot 24/7. You need to watch where you're going, what you're doing, who's around you, you know, especially in sports today. These kids are crazy trying to, you know, slam each other down to just get the person out of the game so that they can do better. You know, I mean, what parents need to understand, these are children's lives. You know, don't encourage this, and go to the coaches and say, you know what, you really need to pay attention. There's too much of this going on, and hold these coaches responsible to not allow that kind of behavior, you know, because, I mean, you even see it in college. Oh, my God, I watched him pick somebody up and throw them to the ground, and these kids don't get fined like the NFL.
Right.
They don't get fined, and meanwhile, they're getting concussions, and they're like, no, I'm okay, you know, just so they can play, and then they take another hit, and then all of a sudden, you see exactly what happens. So I'm glad that you came back, and we got to do this, because it's an honor speaking to you as well, because to know that, you know, you're not running around, that you're in a wheelchair, and yet you are... You got it going on, and you're doing things, and you're not sitting around, you know, just letting the pain pills take your life and turn you into mush. You're out there, you're kicking it, you're doing what you need to do, and I honor that, you know, I honor that.
If you or anyone else you know would like to have their poetry, music featured on the Pro Flow for Show, hosted by Mr. Mad Max, check us out, www.maxseat.com. Don't be left out. Don't be the last to know. Spread the word. It's Pro Flow Radio.
Oh, they want
quiet
some.
On the set.
Oh, they want some.
Mad Max on the radio. Yo, pass me the microphone. Come on.
Mr. Mad Max.
Stay tuned for your VIP. Mad Max. Live on the Pro Flow Show. Only on
Millennium Music.
In the house,
yeah, I used to be much Akron.